We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 19, Austin, Texas. Review of episodes 5-6. Please sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Let's get to it, man, because there's so much to get to. Kicking it all off, where we left off the last time. Derek and Megan. Mm. And episode 5 starts off by ticking me off immediately. Like, why is Derek feeling guilty about asking a simple question, and Karen over here decides to ask for the manager because she's feeling ambushed and quote unquote aggravated?
Yeah, I don't get that. And I think Derek is trying to really be nicer. Yeah. Because, you know, Megan's pissed. She's blindsided. So he's trying to de-escalate. And let's just have a conversation, where she tends to jump straight to defensive, being upset, being mad, and has to storm off. And mm-hmm. and she says, I feel like I'm being attacked. I just think that's a little overdramatic for the conversation Derek had with her.
His Mrs. Stewart says, there's always one Alyssa, Morgan, and now Megan. And materialistic says, I almost married someone like Megan, and all I have to say to Derek is, run! I didn't. And I'm still telling Megan, run!
Yeah.
He wants to make sure they can still bring things up, but obviously, you know, it only works if Megan brings things up, right? And we're going to notice this trend. So apparently, this is a season 19 thing. Because the next day, they go out on a hammock to play this game that his sister gave them. Did mm-hmm. you get anything out of this? Because Megan is like, she's usually avoiding conflict and uncomfortable situations, where I look at it and I see somebody who starts those conflicts mm-hmm. and uncomfortable situations. All my reasons.
Yeah, so she's just trying to be, I guess, honest here and vulnerable to say that she's not used to having these conversations and holding, you know, each other accountable. So I don't know what her relationships were like in the past, but mm-hmm. she's on the show, so it didn't work out. So
we know we can see exactly what happened.
Oh yeah, I have a good idea what happened, but I don't know all the deeds. I have only hearing one side of the story. I'd have to hear the guy's side. But she said that she's an avoider and doesn't really like the difficult conversations, which is really interesting, because I think for Married at First Sight, you got to be open to having these weird, difficult conversations early.
Okay. But like Sly A says, Megan has some serious issues. She wants to fight everything he says. So if she doesn't like to have difficult conversations, she doesn't like conflict, she doesn't like uncomfortable situations, why is she fighting everything this man says?
Because that's just what she does, because she's like her mama.
I saw that up there too.
Yeah, she's just like her mama. That's why.
It's actually really bad, man, because then they get to this whole thing about the game, right? And the perception about having kids. And this thing, well, you want to go first? No, you go. All right.
Let's yeah. go that route.
So Derek goes, he says he wants 2 to 3 kids, and that starts a whole nother discussion.
Well, it does, because Derek's trying to feel her out to see when she wants to have kids.
Right.
You know, Megan froze her eggs, and she's technically ready. But when he tells her 2 to 3, she's like, that means we'd have to start now. And mm-hmm. Megan said, 3 sounds like a lot. And it all boils down to, she's scared, not of being a mom, of giving birth, mm-hmm. which is not that hard, ladies. Come on. I mean, everybody's doing it. I'm just joking. I'm gonna let you. I'm just joking.
Look how many people have 5, 6.
Everybody has kids. Roaches have kids. I mean, ain't that? But I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
The fact that the pregnancy is what's scaring her, not the fact of, because three kids is a lot. I mean, one child is a lot. Two is double. And you get three, now you're really outnumbered, right?
I think the toll it takes on a woman's body, it's easy for the guy to say, I want two to three. But it all depends on how she handles the first one. And if the first one was bad, odds are she's not going to say, hey, sign me up to do this again.
Now, Derek wants three kids. The question is, does he want three kids with her? Because 3 days with her is way too much. Terrell just pissed off my wife of three kids. That's what alphas do, Bodine. They can't help themselves.
Again, it's a joke. It was just a joke.
Don't Raven says, Terrell, a monthly cycle would take you out.
Well, maybe. You know,
Terrell says he's never met a cycle he's been scared of before. So,
who knows? Hey, don't be mad at me about the cycle. Blame Eve. That's her fault. So this is God doing this to you. So if you're religious, God did this to you. Terrell had nothing to do with it.
Oh my God. There's so much to get to with these two. I mean, it's nuts the kind of stuff that came out with this. I can't believe how much I actually went through this. If we try to do five through seven, we'd have been here for like 2 hours just because there's so much with these two, right? And there's a lot with these two as well, and these two being Will and Brittany. Last time we left them, Brittany said she was going to take her shower.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the shower was with chicken nuggets. And
in the banquet hall.
Where she was cussing him out. He wasn't even there. She cussed him out. So when she came back, I do like that Will called Brittany out on leaving without saying anything and asked her, like, yo, is this something that happens often?
I do like that he called that out. Like, do you normally just take off and not say where you're going? And she said, well, I said I was going to take a shower. And I'm like, I'm glad she caught it really quick. So I'm
but she didn't.
Yeah, but you didn't. You walked out the door and went and got you some chicken nuggies. So I'm glad that Will called that out. And I like that, Brittany's trying to say that she didn't mean to offend him by saying that he was like Megan. And Will was like, no, I wasn't offended by that. It's just that I'm the one that's been asking you all these questions and you're not asking me anything. And she gets pissed off again and just tries to shut down. But I like how Will just wouldn't let her shut it down. He goes, gives her a hug, sits with her and tries to get through the night, which I think is what he should do.
Which he has to, because she's a terrible communicator. The problem is she doesn't know that she's a terrible communicator. She thinks she's a good communicator. But, to be fair, her communication, you can read it clearly, because you know exactly what those eye rolls mean.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not getting a point across that she wants. Materialistic asked, did the experts find the most insecure people in Austin? Well, both of y'all are in Austin, so what do you think?
I know a lot of people in Austin that are not like any of these personalities. So
okay.
Maybe they would have made for good TV. That's why they didn't pick any of them.
Raven's girl Monica says, Will is so nonchalant, which can be hard to read. Is that the issue here?
Well, it could be. And I think it's an issue for Brittany. It's not an issue for me, because I'm just like, yeah, Will, like, what's the big deal? I don't see why he should get overly excited. And I think sometimes you want somebody that's really chill. So if you look at what the experts, you know, how the experts paired these two, Brittany is all emotional and just goes off the cuff, whatever's bothering her. Will is just very chill. Whatever happens, okay, hey, house is on fire. I guess we should get out. Okay, guys, let's get out the house. It's on fire. You know, he's not the type to just freak out.
This is what they do, though. Oh, you overthink things? Here's somebody who doesn't think too much about it and, you know, takes it easy. Opposites attract. They always do this, but like Elsie says, a nonchalant person, overthinker is not a good match, not according to the experts. CXM says Will is nonchalant and has no emotion, even though Bodine says Will has no personality. He's stoic. I mean, maybe, but okay. They go bike riding with Rhonda and Pat. At least we get to see a little bit more, right? But maybe some personality comes out in this. Okay, maybe not. What we do get to see, though, is them old folks race the hell out of them young folks and left them in the dust. How'd they let that happen?
Well, you got people who exercise regularly and ride bikes often, and then you have people who don't.
Yes.
Exactly. You have people who don't. And so, you know, I won't say which ones, but I think there's a couple that just don't look like they bike ride often.
And they were trying to bike ride in Birkenstocks. It's a little hard.
Exactly. I mean, it's just that they're not dressed for it. They don't have the right uniform on. It's not their shtick. But if you ride bikes all the time, it doesn't matter what you have on. You're going to get on there and start pedaling and have a ball.
To be fair, Pat probably told him, hey, you know what? It's okay. Just wear your flip-flops. Because that's what he does all the time. Well, Ron, of course they split off so we could get some tea, right? Rhonda and Brittany, they're off. And Brittany has some things to tell Rhonda. Did you agree with what she was saying?
Well, she's saying that they have an instant connection, but they're realizing they're two different people. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the most crazy thing I've ever heard. Yes, you're two different people. Even if y'all dated for 2 years and then got married, you're still two different people having to figure out how to come together as one. And then when she tells Rhonda about her walking out to go get the chicken nuggies, Rhonda tells her that's independent Brittany that chose to walk out. And Brittany's like, yeah, I need to you know, be able to shut that down. And Rhonda's like, no, you don't have to shut your independence down, but you got to have a little bit of balance. Right. Now, did Brittany get the wisdom that Rhonda was trying to deliver? Probably not.
Of course not. But okay. It's not that you need to just independent Brittany needs to go completely away, but there is a point, right? Because you have to learn to live for two and not for yourself. It's one of those things. Once you get married, you have to understand it's not you. It's not I. It's what? We.
We sick? That's what marriage is like?
We sick? We can be.
We pregnant? We sick? We have morning sickness?
YouTube channel member Sly says Rhonda's the wrong person to talk to. You know, great point, because it's at this moment, Rhonda decides to bring up the discussion she had with Pat about past relationships that she thinks is a red flag. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Pat was in a 3-year relationship, got out of it 6 months ago. She's questioning why he's on the show.
Right.
What's the problem?
Well, here's the problem. And I wouldn't even call it a problem, but I think here's what's going on in Rhonda's mind. And I think this happens to people in live chat, comment for me, replay gang, comment for me too. I think that people have different expectations of how long it should take you to move on from your previous relationship before you get into another one. And so I think Rhonda's thinking that 3.5 years, 6 months ago ended, and then you're going straight into Married at First Sight. It seems too soon, but that could be too soon for Rhonda. Doesn't mean it's too soon for Pat. And you don't know what those 3.5 years was like. Yeah. You don't know what those 3.5 years is like. Could it have been a hot and heavy 3 years? Right. Maybe. But what if it wasn't? What if it was off and on, off again? Let's say on again, off again for 3 years. And then they realize this is not going to work. So I think that's where the issue is. I think people have different expectations of how what they perceive to be an okay timeline when you get out of one relationship and go into another one.
Yeah. Like Monica says, Rhonda hasn't lived with a man since 1999. She's in disbelief. Because here's the thing. I think she's trying to mold Pat into the man that or the puppet that she wants, right? And I think that's the problem. Because she's like, she says Pat felt judged and she wonders, is he really ready for marriage? And then she tells Brittany, let's see time, oh yeah, that Pat is so fucking sensitive. Why would you say this about your husband to somebody else? That you just... She's showing a complete lack of respect that I told y'all, I said, when you were so happy that she checked him, when they were sitting out there with the fruit, I'm like, there's an issue because I saw it in that moment. She said something that I was like, this is going to be an issue. And we're starting to see it right now. Go back to episodes 3 and 4 and you'll see that because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I did give her props for calling it out, but now watching episodes 5 and 6, I'm like, kind of have a different opinion about Miss Rhonda.
So you didn't like when she said she doesn't want a defensive and insecure man?
Yeah. Well, the fact that she said that she thinks his past marriage really fucked him up is her words.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, maybe it's not his past marriage. Maybe it's just you. And he doesn't want to say anything to you because she has no problem telling Pat what she doesn't like about him.
Right.
But doesn't really give him space to say anything about her. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's why is that so familiar to me? Oh, yeah, I dated that.
Story time.
Yeah, I dated that. I get it. But that's how Rhonda is. Rhonda's perfect. Rhonda's great. She does nothing wrong. But she's quick to point out what other people do.
And that's what everybody said in episodes 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. I love, like Jay Raylan saying, I love how Rhonda communicates. Yes, until she's communicating with you. And we'll get to that. Because trust me, her saying all that stuff about not one defensive, insecure man is going to come back to bite her in her defensive, insecure, sensitive ass. It's going to come back and we're going to talk about it. Because, I told y'all this is going to be bad. Pat and Will, they're talking. And it's amazing. They don't have a whole lot to say bad about these women.
Men folk. That's what we do. We don't give a...
What did Will say? What did Will, Will say?
Will said that my past relationships, we didn't argue. Mm-hmm. And with Brittany, we've had these arguments. I'm trying to figure out a way to handle that. And Patrick was like, I'm impressed that you have any arguments. And I was like, hey, I can relate. I've not argued in relationships. So it's possible. But notice that Pat and Will didn't say anything directly negative about their partners to each other, because you don't do that.
Yes, exactly. You know who knows that? Men.
Men. Stop. Yeah, men. We know. You're not trash about your significant other or your wife to your boy. Ever. But ever. For some reason, women will talk mad shit.
Hey, High Five says, do you agree with what High Five says? She says, Rhonda and Pat have similar dynamics as Brittany and Will. The men are walking on eggshells. You agree?
Well, yeah, because I think both, you know, Will and Pat, they're trying not to piss the other person off. And look at Will. He's had all these moments where, hey, things were great. Seems like it was good. And all of a sudden, Brittany's upset. And he has no idea why. And I think Pat's the same way. He didn't see some things that he says that triggers Rhonda. Mm-hmm. But he does get the aftermath when she is triggered. And so, of course, it's going to make him walk on eggshells.
YouTube channel member Sly A says, from the start, I said Pat was on a sugar high and that he would be crashing. Rhonda is too much. That red dress was a sign, a big red flag. You know, I wasn't a fan of the red dress, but you're right. Her coming down the aisle was a big red flag from the get-go.
I don't agree. I like the red dress. I don't agree at all.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. You know, I like the color.
I don't think that's a
Simba.
I don't think it's a red flag. I don't think it's a red flag.
Symbolism, sir. Get out on the boat, on the catamaran, which, according to Jalen, is a yacht.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a water person either, but yeah, whatever. What did you think of this whole trip, though?
Well, I mean, I thought it was nice. It reminded me when you and I went to St. Kitts, because that was my first time on a catamaran. So I was like, when they said it, I was like, oh, man, St. Kitts, that was such one of my best vacations. Jalen tells the group that Josh said that he's falling in love with her. Which is nice. So, like, it was like little one-liners throughout, because Will said it's been amazing, but yes, they've had some bumps. Then he looks at Brittany, calls her gorgeous, and she's like, oh, we look good together. And Pat, walking on eggshells, says, we know we have some things we want to work on, but we're having a lot of fun.
He's like, how do I make this better so I don't get the wrath of Rhonda? I have some things I need to work on so I can be perfect for my queen.
Yeah.
I do like that Josh was able to get Jalen because she wasn't going to jump in, just like Brittany wasn't going to jump in, and Brittany still didn't jump in. But Brittany wasn't the only one that didn't jump in because Belinda didn't either. But
right.
Josh says to Jalen, hey, when are we ever going to have a chance to jump in the waters here in Panama again? And so she jumped in, and I like the fact that she did that.
Face your fears. Mm-hmm. Jump in the water. Totally fine. You're going to be safe.
Belinda was like, wait, what? She did. She couldn't believe it. And Chad's like, you should follow her. Come on, let's go.
Yeah. Chad's like, we're going to do this. We're going to go diving. Yeah, I want to take you diving. And she's like, don't be mad if I chicken out because I don't want to put my head underwater.
She won't jump in the water here. You think she's going to go underwater with a tank? Come on now.
No.
It's a little, no. That's a bit much. Sometimes you gotta know the limits. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Baby steps. After the boat, we do get to see Derek and Megan again. And they go off on a date that starts off good, but then Megan becomes Megan again.
Right.
What happened here?
Well, they start talking about Zoe, which is Megan's dog. And you could tell by Derek's body language, like the dog thing is new to him. He's weird about it. And Derek doesn't like the dog sleeping in the bed. And Megan says she snores every now and then, but it's not as bad as her jolting or as your night terrors. So she'll be in the bed with us. Pretty much Derek just accept it.
See, and we're like, okay, where are those papers again? Can I sign them now? Because we're done. This ain't happening. But okay, he's going to stick around for a little bit. They have it's interesting that they have a decent kind of conversation, even a little joking about the monkey, the screaming monkeys over there with the big nuts. And she even gets a little laugh out of her at the end of this. I'm like, okay, maybe there's a little hope. A little hope. And thank you, Toya. She was wrong for throwing the night terrors in his face. Yes. That was kind of bad for her to do. But it's Megan. So we all kind of brush right past it. Will and Brittany, on the other hand, they go on an excursion to the ruins. And I think they look good out there, except for Will and his merce.
You just don't like a merce. I thought they looked good.
Sure
it don't. Seemed like this is a good time for them because it's been bumpy. A whole lot. And Brittany says that she realized they both want the same things. They just need to navigate how to get there.
Right. What'd you think of their kiss in the window?
It's a kiss. I've seen one, seen them all. It's not gonna lead to anything. But I mean, it's a kiss.
You keep saying that. It will.
It's not foreplay. It's just a kiss.
Look, if the merce didn't turn her off, did you think the pearls and the pink blouse did? Because the next time we see them, they're out on the patio at their room, and apparently something went wrong here. And I'm assuming, at first I thought she might have been upset that he stole her blouse and he was wearing it, but no, apparently it was something else that happened. What happened?
Yeah, so something happened around intimacy. Don't know if Brittany tried to make a move and he shut it down, but she's feeling rejected by him. And I really don't believe Will is into her. And he just doesn't want to have sex with her. He even tells her, we can do everything else but that. Like when a guy tells you, hey, we can do everything else but sex, he doesn't like you. So I really believe Will doesn't like her.
Or when she freaked out because of what we're assuming is, you know, unprotected sex, then if she's going to freak out like that, then all right, we need to get to a space where you're not freaking out like that because we can't do like that. We already said she's an overthinker.
Sorry, sir.
If somebody tells you stop, do you
and me in our 20s,
you continue?
You and me in our 20s, have we had people that freaked out in the middle of the sex the first time? And then the second time it's all good, third time it's all good, fourth time it's all good. It's happened. I've never had someone like freak out where I'm just like, you know, we should never do this again. It's like, maybe we should
also
redo and like, let's take a pause and tomorrow we can try again. Can you come over around 7? My roommates will be asleep. Come over around 8:39.
Bodine says, what are we getting to Will's pink nighty shirt? We already did. The blouse? Yeah. I see all the comments in there. I'm not going to question that man's anything. I'm just going to say, you won't find me wearing a shirt like that. My bad. A blouse like that. You won't find me wearing pearls either, because next thing you know, you're going to be, what, who's the next member of AKA? Is that what it's going to be? Yeah. I'm just trying to understand, where does this, where do we stop? Where do we stop with this, man? And it's not him, because you see the football players, NFL players, the basketball, NBA players, they're all wearing these pearls now. I'm like, it's not fashion, guys. What are you doing? That's your grandma's. Go give them back to her. What are we doing? Jeez. All right. Next up, we get back to Rhonda and Pat.
Mm-hmm.
They go out for this date of making drinks, which then, of course, leads to Rhonda having more conversation about justifying her judgment of Pat leaving his 3-year relationship 6 months ago.
Well, she tried to clarify
why
she reacted and responded that way. And she was saying that it was more about her than it was about him, because then she's in her head thinking, maybe this guy just doesn't like to be alone. He just wants to, you know, get married to somebody. But is he really into this? Do I need to protect myself? Whereas Pat was feeling judged, and especially by the way that she handled it. So I thought it starts out, I think, as a good conversation up until
I just want to say this real quick, because I made a note of this. I said, I bet you want to roll out the red carpet and throw a parade for taking ownership in this moment. And you damn near just did. See,
I
purposely didn't tell you this before, because I wanted to see you do it. I knew you would do it. I knew you were going.
I thought it was great.
Rhonda.
It was great that they had the conversation. Jesus. So that's all I'm talking about. It's great they had the conversation. But she ruins it by saying that she feels smothered, because she's not used to being around somebody this much. And I'm like, well, you signed up for this. You signed up for the show. And you knew from the time y'all met at the altar, you're going to be together air day for at least 9-10 days before you get back to the real world.
Here's the problem I have too, though. Because she didn't even acknowledge when he went, me too. I'm going to want some me time too. She didn't even acknowledge that. All this paying attention, she wanted him to do the conversation. Mm-hmm. And to the point that she has to one up him every single time, because even when she was being judged, she's coming saying, oh, well, you know, I didn't want you to feel like I was being judgmental. She has to throw in and compare the length of time that nobody was with her to the time that he was without somebody. The 6 months versus the 62 years, right?
Well, he was 7 years. 7 years since he's cohabitated with someone. She was 25 years.
Talking about the breakup. Remember, she was talking about the breakup, him only being out 6 months. She goes, yeah, well, it's been longer for me. Yeah, that doesn't make it any better, because you're actually worse right now, right? And even when he says, it's hard. And she goes, it's a relationship. They're all hard. You can feel her judgment. Rhonda is a lot. And it's not in the good way that everybody was trying to paint her in episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
This is why it gets worse later. And we'll see.
Yeah. She's something. She's a lot.
And Terrell, I know you agree with this, because Lucy B says, I could love your dirty drawers, but I need space after 7 days up under anyone.
This is why I say get married, keep your separate houses. Hang out 3 or 4 nights a week. Perfect.
And Sly says, Rhonda and her little old funky red flag dress wearing self. Yeah, I said it again, Terrell.
Funky red.
And a whole lot of mocha says, Rhonda is me, and now that I see it, I'm calling my therapist Monday morning.
Yeah, good. Good.
You know who
talk
isn't?
Through that Rhonda. Stuff. Yeah, talk through that stuff before you get into a relationship with somebody.
For real. Oh, man. Rhonda's a lot. Josh and Jalen, they had a nice conversation about their upbringing and raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
What did you take away from this?
The first thing that I took away is when Jalen started talking to Josh about her not finishing school and kind of justifying it. And you've always heard that where people like, yeah, I'm in college. And then for whatever reason, they're out, but they always kind of make some excuses. And I love how Josh was like, hey, that's totally cool. I didn't go to college, but right. I'm doing this and I'm successful. I think you could be whatever you want to be. You could do some amazing things without going to college. And I agree 100%. There's a lot of amazing things you can do in the world. And a four-year degree is yeah. not the thing that everybody has to have.
Right. I do like how Jalen said she didn't grow up seeing her parents showing affection. She brought this up again and says, mm-hmm. hey, she wants something different for her kids. She wants to be able to show affection in front of her kids. She wants them to be like, oh, mom, dad, go get a room, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And the fact that, and he's like, yeah, of course. The way we are now, we ain't stopping.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I saw my grandparents. They would kiss me on the mouth, both of them. Grandpa and grandma kissed me on the mouth. I probably would have kept that in the vault. I probably wouldn't have said that to you.
Well, yeah, you're the one like, there's some things that shouldn't be said. next up, Belinda and Chad. This is an interesting conversation about romance because mm-hmm. we think everybody sees romance the same way, but really and truly they don't.
100% they don't, because Chad's idea of romance is similar to mine. You know, let's go see a musical, see a play, a really nice dinner, bring you some flowers, you know, activities and effort. Mm-hmm. That's his idea of romance, where Belinda's idea of romance is like, we can just sit at the house and we can just cuddle and kiss a bit. Mm-hmm. And Chad was like, oh, done. That's easy. That's cheaper.
It's easy.
That's cheaper.
He said, wait, I ain't got to buy you another ring? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Good. this started off as a good conversation, right? Then it just got weird. Why? Mm-hmm.
Well, Belinda pretty much gives Chad all these words of affirmation of why she likes him. Mm. And I think Chad was trying to return the favor, but got tongue-tied and drew blank. And as he's sitting there, the producer's like, hey, so why do you like Belinda? What do you like? And he's just like, hey, I got it. Stop. And so then he's still trying to think now. And you got to keep in mind, we take for granted that there's producers and cameras around these people mm-hmm. as we're watching the show. So could you imagine having some type of close romantic conversation with your partner and there's camera crews, there's a boom mic, there's this, there's all these folks, producer in your ear trying to tell you what to say. I see Chad's point. So Chad just got frustrated. I was like, hey guys, we're here to talk and I'm trying to talk to her. Just let me do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was rude, but I thought I respected what he did.
Yeah, he wasn't rude. And then again, this is two men saying this. There are a lot of women in the live crew right now. Was he rude in that moment? Because I think that he kind of just, hey, let us get. He got agitated. We know he did get agitated, mm-hmm. but you can understand why to a point, right? And he still, yeah. he didn't. Had that been Ronda, Ronda would have cussed their ass up, right?
Yeah. Ronda probably would have let him have it.
He didn't do that. He was just kind of like, hey, let us get this. Then he just got frustrated. Like, you know, let's end this right now. And I'm seeing here, Gwen says no. Karen says no. Wood Sprite says no. Suzanne says no. So, and Lucy B says he was put on the spot, which is what you just said. In that sense, it was a little too much. Omi Mom says, after seeing this scene, the awkwardness of the other couple's conversations makes sense. Mm. Even though Raven's girl Monica says, hey, I didn't like the way he said it. T-Dub, it was his tone.
I think people are going to see it differently.
Angry white man.
Yeah, people are going to see it differently.
Monica says, maybe not rude, but just a bit stern. Okay, sometimes you got to be stern. Hey, I ain't doing this. He could have told him back, give me 50 feet, but he didn't.
Well, right. But I think that's why I think Belinda shut down because I think that something in her past relationships or relationship, maybe that person was the one that would kind of go off. And mm-hmm. so I think in every couple, you got to have that one. Let's say your order doesn't come right to the table. Somebody has to speak up. Everybody just can't be passive. Mm-hmm. Chad is a boss. And what I mean by that is professionally. So he has no problem saying, hey, this isn't right. It needs to be like this. He's in what, commercial real estate?
Yeah.
There's things that he needs to call out. And it's not being offensive. It's just I'm calling a spade a spade. And I think that bothers Belinda. I think she just doesn't like conflict whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So if the bill was wrong and Chad was trying to make a big deal, talk to the manager, she would feel totally distraught, I think.
I can see that. Sly says they left it in for a reason. We are going to see, I'm sure. And Lyrics Mom said Chad and Rhonda should have been paired together. Now, that would have made for great TV. It wouldn't have made for a great marriage, but it would have made for great TV.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked out.
No, it wouldn't have worked out, but it would have been great. TV?
Yeah.
You know, they're getting ready to leave. They're getting to move in. And we actually get the first expert's visit, even though they probably should have been on the honeymoon. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, a word from our sponsor.
So this episode of Regular Guys Random Thoughts is brought to you by Cellar and Spice, where passion for cooking meets the art of entertaining. From premium cookware, kitchen essentials, to elegant wine accessories, they've got everything you need to bring flavor and style to your home. So visit cellarandspice.com and use promo code RGRTPOD for free shipping on your order. Elevate your kitchen and your taste.
Do us a favor. We appreciate everybody that's hanging out right now. Whether you're here now as part of the live crew or watching this later part of the replay gang, do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Yep. And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to Random Thoughts and RGRT Pod reaction videos, and more, including members-only live streams for story time with Terrell. That's coming up this week.
I was about to say, as you heard, there's some stories to be told.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, on the audio version, your favorite podcast app, do us a favor. Please leave us a 5-star rating and feel free to leave a review. You can even say something about Terrell's story time.
It's going to be a good one this week. We're going to talk about some good stuff.
Oh, boy. Here we go. That's going to be nuts. As everybody's getting ready to leave Panama, we see Derek and Megan first, right? Well, not first, but we do see them. And one of the things... I think we really get a chance to notice as they're talking about what life is going to be like when they go back to Austin. Megan, we know she's got issues, but she's really very selfish too. Because she tells Derek, oh yeah, you can listen to your EDM between 9 and 3. Or was it even 2? It might have been even less time than that. But once I get home, it's country music only. How selfish is this woman?
Because she's in charge. She was like... Red and the 5 heartbeats.
My office hours are
9 to 2. After 3 o'clock, it's all country. I need you to understand.
And you know, of course, they had to have the toilet seat conversation. We'll get to that because every season they have to have it. We'll get to that a little later when it comes back up. But also, Pat and Rhonda. You know, this is where Pat's saying he hasn't lived with someone in 7 years. And Rhonda, of course, has to one-up him and go, I see you're 7. Multiply it by 3 and add 4.
She said outside of her children, it's been 25 years since she's cohabitated with another man.
Yeah. But did you notice? I don't think you noticed this because I know you like Rhonda, right? But did you notice that she keep cutting him off?
Yeah.
Every time he's talking, the same thing she chastised him for, she's doing to him over and over again.
Yeah. She is a problem. This is what happens when you've been single for so long and then all of a sudden you try to date. In this case, you've been single for so long and then you just get married to a stranger. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And
great TV.
It is going to be great TV, but she is so set in her ways. and it's the way that she sees the world. It all makes sense to her, compared, not factoring in how other people may see the world. And again, I've dated that person, so I get it. But she's
why you like Rhonda so much at first.
No, I get triggered. I get triggered.
You're like,
I'm like, why does this conversation sound familiar? Oh, yeah.
We kind of see this when they get back to Austin and they go to Rhonda's house. I mean, it's her dream house, right? She there was a long story about how she got it, and then she was still able to remodel it 7 years ago. We got to see it. What'd you think of it?
You know, when they first walked in, my first thought was her place looks very busy compared to mine. Like, that's what I was thinking about. It's just, I couldn't live in all that. Her closet is loaded with stuff, but I loved her backyard. Her backyard was beautiful.
Right. It was nice. This is what Pat did is what Brittany wanted Will to do.
Mm-hmm.
Say something nice. And Pat did. And he even said, you know, we have to find, you know, let's get the shared space. You know, find some space. And she's like, wait a minute. What was all that about? Why did she say she has real concerns with cohabitating?
Well, so I think Pat was just talking to say, hey, you know, when I move my stuff in here, and I think that just gave her a panic attack. Where she's like, no, we need to talk about that. we need to talk about all that before. She's not there yet. She's not even ready to have that conversation. So I think in her mind, she's already stressed about having to be in this apartment with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then the thought of him moving his stuff into her house, it just freaked her out.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of weird. And all I'm seeing, episode 5 and 6 from Rhonda, is red flags, red flags, red flags. We mentioned it. Will and Brittany, before they go to see Brittany's house, Brittany wants to put Panama in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But did she say it wrong when she said, let's agree that Panama never happened?
Yes. I think she said that wrong. You can't just say the honeymoon didn't happen. Let's just say we never had a honeymoon. We went straight from the altar to our apartment in Austin. No, you can't do that.
But also, there's a lot to learn from what happened there. You would say she needs to learn that he doesn't like her. I would say they need to learn each other's boundaries.
Well, what she said is that they had a conversation the night before.
Yes.
Where she feels like they're in a good place now. And in that conversation, she understands that Will is attracted to her. I don't buy it. But
see, there you go.
Well, I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. If you're 27, 28, you're attracted to somebody, you're going to have sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Not everybody's you, Terrell.
No, not everybody's me. No. To the 5 guys that's in the live right now, with any of you at age 28, and you got married to somebody, you're not going to sleep with them if you're attracted to them? Come on. This isn't like just hooking up with a stranger. This is your wife.
Anitra says, Will seems much nicer than he was during the honeymoon. Is it the cameras or the real him? Because in this moment, they seem to be nice. He gets a little cuddly with her. And Brittany does do Brittany, Nikki, stop it. Behave yourself.
Nikki, stop it.
Distracting folks over here. Stop it. Brittany does something I think that she shouldn't do, which is every time he does something nice, she makes a spectacle of it. Oh, he's getting close to me. That's going to turn that man off if you keep doing that. And Anitra, I like how you say he's being nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought so until he goes to Brittany's house. And Brittany and my wife both believe that he was not nice in her house. And I'm trying to understand why. Maybe y'all can help me out.
I don't get this part because her house, it was nice, right? House was nice. Office right when you walk in, you know, a very nice island, big closet. But it wasn't anything that I was like, oh, well, let me hit pause and rewind. Let me look at this island again in the kitchen. It wasn't that big a deal. I mean, but here's the reality. when you're a home, when you buy, especially when you buy your first house, I think this is when you buy your first house, you feel this. When you buy your first house, I think that the amount of effort it took for you to get to that point, the discipline when it came to your finances to get to that point, and then once you get the house, you decorate it, you buy furniture, you were so proud. And so you want people to be impressed. And I was that way year one in my house, but now I'm just like, yeah, come on in. I don't care what
Shante
you think.
Says she wanted him to be excited about it and he wasn't, so she was upset. Did he know this? Did she give him the background? This is the same thing I said to my wife, like, because she's like, wait, he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. I'm like, she's proud of her house. It's the first house. I'm like, did she tell him that, though? Because we know she's a terrible communicator. Now, if she told him that and he didn't say anything, shame on you.
Yeah.
If she didn't, shame on you.
I don't think she did because she doesn't really talk.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
So like, he says he wasn't trying to hype her up.
Yeah, like, what's he supposed to walk around? Wow, this you? All this is you?
Toya, how are you going to say he's giving you Keiichi? I mean, come on. He didn't do anything right. Put it like this. And thank you, Anitra. I thought she was overreacting too because the way she reacted to that. And then he just even tried to, again, he tried to make a joke. She got offended the fact that he said something about the amount of clothes she was taking.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if me and my wife are packing to go somewhere, I'm going to make jokes about the amount of clothes she's taking because it's way more than me. It's always going to be that way. Every man has done that. What's she upset about?
Because it's not like she can't go back to her house for 4 weeks. Like, you don't need to take everything.
Mm-hmm.
Couple things.
Sure, took a quarter.
And then you can go back and swap out.
Toya says, how hard is it to say you have a lovely home? And Raven's girl Monica says, I believe I've always said nice house, even if I didn't mean it. And that's wrong. Yeah. You should not lie to people like that.
Stop lying.
Exactly.
Stop telling people the house is nice if it's not. Mm-hmm. Now, does that apply to babies? Like, your baby's so cute, but you don't mean it? Should you not do that?
Just don't say anything.
Just be like, oh, wow. Oh. This you? Oh, wow.
I see it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can see it. This is something. This is something. Bless y'all's heart.
Looks bless just like heart. You. Emma, he made the jokes. Like Jay Redden said, she doesn't get his jokes. She overthinks everything. Exactly. She got so in her feelings and wouldn't even tell him what the issue was. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is nuts. We see an issue brewing here, and you know it's going to be more.
Does it say precious like in Lord of the Rings? Like, your baby's so precious.
Y'all are wild in the live crew, man. Next, we do see Belinda and Chad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chad doesn't have a lot of stuff. He's like, yeah, this corner right here, that's me. The rest is you. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then, and apparently, this is why I don't live in Austin. Because apparently you have to have a dog to live in Austin. Everybody has a dog in their house.
I live in Austin. I don't have a dog.
Yeah, but you also kiss them when you see them. So
I don't kiss dogs in the mouth.
I didn't kiss a dog on their head. See, you just told on yourself.
I don't kiss them on the mouth. I'll kiss a dog on the head. Like,
you just told on yourself. I said nothing about the mouth. You just did.
That's what you normally would always say.
I know.
There's check tape. You normally would always say that. I'm like, no, I don't do that. But she's worried about her dog being in the new place. And that's the thing about Austin. Like, people's dogs are their children. So they're worried about the dog being in a new place and them getting adapting to the environment. We were kids with dogs. It didn't matter. We'd move anywhere and like, dog, deal with it. This is where you're at. But she's worried about how her dog's going to respond to Chad. And then she asks Chad if he's okay with the dog sleeping in the bed. And Chad's like, no.
Hell no.
And then she asked, well, does your dog sleep in the bed? No.
Hell no.
And then he said, well, what about your cats? And Chad says, well, the cat sleeps wherever they want, which makes me ask you, Yanni, you are so anti-dogs in the bed.
Goddamn
does your cat sleep in the bed?
Well, the cats, just like Chad said, cats sleep wherever they want. Cats do whatever they want.
So it's okay for the cat to sleep in the bed,
yes,
but not the dog to sleep in the bed.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Next question.
Yeah, no. 6 1 way, half dozen other. Sorry. It's the same thing. The cat sleeps in the bed, but the dog can't. That makes no sense to me.
Shante, I hate cats. Spicy Skizzy, my dog sleeps in my bed with me. That's non-negotiable. Yep, and that's exactly why.
Are you single or are you in a relationship? Are you single or in a relationship?
Well, you never know. She might. The dog might be. No, stop. I just think, look, I saw this dog and I'm like, yo, that big ass dog is sleeping in the bed?
Mm-hmm.
Chad is no little skinny dude.
Mm-mm.
How they all go fit in the bed?
Yeah, both of them are a little thick. And then you add the dog into it. It's a lot.
Damn, Nikki, really? Is that what we're going to say? Well,
yes, I mean, I'm not a fan of cats. They can be. Either. I'm not a fan of cats at all.
And Spicy Skizzy does answer your question.
All right, so if you start dating a guy, are you going to tell him, hey, if you're going to stay the night, the dog sleeps in the bed, you got to deal with it? Or would you compromise and say, hey, let's get a dog bed and teach the dog not to sleep in the bed?
Exactly. Raven's girl Monica says cats stay in the house. Very true. Our cats don't go outside, but dogs do, and they walk everywhere and everything. Just like you and your shoes when you go into the airport and you walk through all that piss in the bathroom, but you still walk with your shoes in the house. Yeah.
So when the cat steps in the litter box where they piss and shit, and then they climb out of that and then they go get in your bed, that's fine.
They don't get. Yeah, but see, here's the thing you don't think about.
Oh, that your cat goes to the sink and your cat goes to the sink and gets some Purell and.
And what? They use the toilet too.
With their little imposable thumbs. Flush the toilet. They wipe their ass and everything. Nothing sure gets do. In your
bed. Got their own toilet paper.
Yeah. It doesn't get, your cat doesn't get in the bed with outside clothes.
Exactly. You know, my wife hates outside clothes in beds. Nikki B says we must own Mr. Jinx. No, we got Heathcliff. Whoop anybody's dog's ass. It's a throwback for all your cartoon folks. Oh, my God. Look, they go for a fun date, archery. This looked like fun, right? Belinda trying new things?
Yeah, it was nice. And I think she got a chance to get a little impressed by Chad because Chad knows what he's doing with a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he does. And Belinda was good for the first time.
Yeah, I thought it was good. She's getting, really good. And I think that's what's going to be great about Chad is he's going to introduce her to a lot of things that takes her out of her comfort zone.
Yes. Which she needs. She definitely
yes.
Needs.
Yeah.
Speaking of comfort zone.
You mean danger zone?
Yeah, that's what I meant. My bad. Sorry. Dear God. Megan and Derek. Now, we've been giving Megan a hard time. Rightfully so.
Right.
But there's a point where I have to agree with her. And that's on the house smelling like vinegar. What the hell is Derek talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's that hippie Austin stuff. I like chemicals. I like Fabuloso. I like my place to smell like there's some chemicals in it that cleaned everything. Right. You're just rubbing vinegar on stuff. I just don't believe vinegar's going to get all the bacteria and all the dirt off. And you know, I worked in restaurants for a long time. No health department was like, you know, if you just use vinegar, that's going to be
vinegar
fine.
On your meat. That's what you wash your meat with, vinegar.
Yeah, well, you can. You're not washing utensils and countertops and stuff like that.
Not unless you go cook them.
Yeah. So I'm just like, it's weird to me. And I'm sure to Megan, this is where I agree with Megan. I'd have been like, yeah, I'm going to use some chemicals. So you're just going to have to get used to that.
K-Woo 10 Design says she needs help immediately. A lot of people clean with vinegar. It doesn't smell after.
Okay. I need to know people's houses that clean with vinegar so I know where not to go eat.
She says vinegar and baking soda clean well.
Sure they
do. Baking soda.
Okay, who said that? K-Wu? Okay, we don't eat at K-Wu's house. if K-Wu brings something to the potluck, it's like, nah, I'm good.
Oh my God, you are nuts. Megan brings Zoe to the apartment, and everything's fine. He's trying to, you know, bond with Zoe and everything, until he asks about the dog bed. Because he asked about the dog bed, and she's like, yeah, but she doesn't sleep in it. She only sleeps in it when I'm not there.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, sleeps in the dog bed when I'm not here, but other than that, she'll be in the bed with us. Deal with it. And, like, you could see in Derek's face, like, he's trying to process that and all but having, like, a panic attack at the same time. But he's like, what can I say? I can't argue with her right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's no point because she doesn't listen anyway. Anitra says this would have been a good compromise. No vinegar, no dog in the bed. Exactly. Yeah. Easy. All right, you get the Fabulosa. We put Zoe in a bed or in the other room and she gets that bed to herself, but not this bed that we're in, right? Because, oh, crap. I accidentally did something I didn't mean to do. But the thing is, the next day, we find out, and we know Megan is selfish, but we find out she's really, really selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Because how you let your dog sleep on that man's side of the bed the whole night? You wanted a dog in the bed with you.
Yeah, to me, it should have been Derek, Megan, Zoe.
No, it should have been Derek, Megan, Zoe.
That's what I just did.
No, outside.
Oh. I'm just saying, if you got to be in the bed, Derek on this end, Megan in the middle, Zoe gets the side right next to Megan. And that's where Zoe stays. But Derek didn't get a lot of sleep because Zoe was barking throughout the night and then somehow meandered over to Derek's side of the bed, which tells me Zoe likes Derek.
It's bad, the fact that that's what happened, and she goes over there, so she actually likes Derek. Obviously Zoe likes Derek, but then it escalates because of walking the dog. It's your dog I just met 12 hours ago. Why are you asking me to go walk the dog?
Well, to be fair, if you start dating somebody, speaking from an Austinite, that, you know, you date people here that have dogs, you got to get in good with the dog.
Yeah.
Right. And which I agree with, because I don't trust people, but I trust dogs that don't like people. I think Bill Murray said that. And I agree with that 100%. If a dog doesn't like a person, that's a bad person. Yeah, he is. But I agree with him what he's saying about dogs. But you got to really bond with the dog. And so in Megan's mind, okay, we are a couple. Hey, I need you to go take her out. And Derek is like, well, I thought we're pregnant. We got morning sickness. We are going to go walk Zoe. No.
Let me explain something to you. When I met my wife, she had a dog, Ace. And that little dog was, I say a terror just because he didn't like anybody. You walk in the house, he's going to bark at you. And he would bark. And I'm like, if you don't stop, you're going to pass out because you're barking too damn much. You know what she never asked me to do? Walk the damn dog. Because you know why? It's her dog. Walk the dog. If I choose to, I go walk the dog.
But I think she also knew you didn't like dogs.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah. So she's like, you know.
And thank you, Gina. Gina agrees with you, but however, you can't direct him to walk her dog, especially now, right away. And that's my point. And that's why he's like, I've never walked this damn dog. What am I supposed to do with it when I get outside? Now, if the dog runs away, you're going to be mad. Let's not do this.
You think Derek's going to be like, oh no, Zoe got away. Oh my goodness, oh, Zoe.
Come back.
Oh, take care of yourself.
You know, the funny thing about it, as they're sitting down talking, right? And it's funny, K-Wu says Zoe wanted to be rescued. It does seem like it, because they're sitting on the couch having this conversation. And as he's talking about him not walking the dog, who's over there and he's rubbing on the whole time?
Notice Zoe goes over there when Megan was like, fine, you don't have to walk her ever again. I want you to want to do it. But if you want to do it, you don't have to do it. And that's when Zoe was like, I'm going to come over here to Derek.
I'm coming over here when the energy's nice.
It just feels a little calm on this side of the couch than it does where I'm at with her.
The issue that I have from this is that Megan also doesn't think it's a big compromise that Zoe is sleeping in the bed. He didn't put up a fight and he let Zoe sleep in the bed. And she doesn't think it's a compromise at all. To the point that they get in the argument. She even goes, and I don't even complain about the toilet seat being up. While she's complaining about the toilet seat being up. And then has the nerve to say, I even put it down for you. No, you put it down for you. Because when he needs to go use the toilet with a toilet seat, he puts it down.
Yeah, but how often is he shitting, right? That you don't. As a guy, we don't need the toilet seat down all the time. Women do.
Yeah.
Raise it up because 9 times out of 10 we're gonna pee, but I don't see the big deal in this toilet seat issue that people have. I just find it to be odd. And I'll be honest, this is what I think. I think that there's a certain group in this argument is lazy because they don't want to just do that. They don't do that. So imagine if they just put it down once, that's one rotation. Then when it's my turn, I gotta lift it up. I'm only doing one rotation. What they're expecting me to do is lift, pee, and then put it back down. I'm supposed to do two moves when I pee. And they don't have to do any moves when they pee. So, no.
Kitty says everyone just close the lid.
Yeah. No? No, I just don't get this toilet. Like, you've heard for many years, you've heard this argument. That happens. I just don't see the big deal. Like, who is that pissed off? How many women go sit down without looking? Like, who? I don't sit down without looking, and I live alone. I know where the toilet seat's at, but I still check.
That's because you've watched too many movies. You know things come out the toilet.
I'm just saying. Well, it's Texas. You can have snakes that come out of your toilet.
That's my point.
Yeah, I always look before I sit.
You don't want to sit there. Oh, snap. Lavita says, as a woman, that toilet seat argument is so stupid, I check the seat before I sit. Corey says, Terrell, I'm surprised.
What?
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's always been an argument. Always been an argument. I don't get it. And by the way, Shante's like, are we really counting toilet seat moves? What?
I just did, because my plan was fair. One move each instead of two. But if you fall into a toilet because the seat's not down, that's your bad. That's no one else's fault. That's yours.
This argument comes back up because Monica says, Terrell got toilet air just floating all through the bathroom, all on your toilet, your toothbrush.
That whole toilet air is bullshit thing that people say makes no sense at all. Because in every bathroom you use, especially public bathroom at an airport, toilet air. You're just walking in there, breathing it all in. And it's strangers. At least in your bathroom, it should be your toilet air.
Which is fine.
Yeah, which is fine. I know where all the stuff came from. It's like, yeah, I'm good.
T-Dub, we will move on after this. T-Dub says, in the middle of the night, when you don't want to put on the light, you may just fall in. Not if you check. How dark is your house?
Goodness. Helen Keller checked.
Here's the thing that Derek does in this, though. Derek does the adult thing to try to calm things down, right? He goes and has another conversation with Megan, but she's still feeling ambushed and says she doesn't understand Derek's aggravation. Huh?
It's this whole ambush thing. It's like you find out some information that you weren't prepared for, and you take that as ambush when he's just trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm. And I saw someone saying, why does he want to procreate with her? I think he's got to seriously be thinking, we can have some fun over the next month and a half. But I'm saying no at the altar. Decision day, I'm saying no. Not at the altar, but on decision day. And if he doesn't say no, I'm totally judging him at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to ask that question to him. We get him on. Why?
Yeah. Why'd you say yes? Well, you know, I just thought maybe after the cameras went away, it would get better. It's like, no. She's like her mom. It's not going to get better.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin said he's going to be judging him, too. Because, yeah. It's bad, man. Cycling class with Jalen and Josh. Anything out of that? I mean, seeing her at work was great, but anything that stood out to you from that class?
I mean, it's just that Josh got his butt kicked in a spin class. I've done one spin class before, and that is legit. I mean, it is not easy.
I've seen people in there and went, nope. Because I've gone on the cycle myself. I've done it, and I'm like, yeah, I'll be the one sitting down in the class. I've done Orange Theory. Orange Theory will kick your butt just as bad. And yeah, so I'm good on the cycling class. But more power to him. And he had to do it. I think it's an unrealistic expectation of her to want him to love it as much as she does.
Yeah, she's probably just saying that. But I think it was good that he went to support her passion. Yes. And could he go once a month to a spin class? Is that killing anything? No.
Mm-hmm.
He could do that. Yeah. Is he going to go like 3-5 times a week? No.
Yeah, no. He doesn't need to. Look, you have that. I'll come every once in a while. Cool. Monica says I couldn't take Jalen's class because of her laugh. Yeah, I did talk about that before too.
What's wrong with their laugh? You got people that hate laughter.
Yeah, I know. People hate mine, so it's fine. I get it. Yeah. And that's why I can't say anything bad about hers, but I understand. And you know what I do when people say they don't like mine? I laugh more.
Yes.
Which is what Jalen should do, too. The experts come to visit, right? Pastor Cal stops in with Megan and Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And even Pastor Cal is surprised that the damn dog is in the bed.
Yeah, because he asks, well, what do y'all do with mommy and daddy time? Which, that's also something on my mind. When people say the dog sleep in the bed, I'm like, okay, well, what happens? And I've witnessed it. It's where you start doing things. The dog, I guess, realizes, oh, they're about to do that weird stuff. Let me go to the little dog bed. And then as soon as you're done, the dog realizes, oh, they're good. Then it jumps back up onto the bed. So it's weird.
The dog said, where mine at?
Yeah. It's like,
where's my pot?
Yeah. The dog's like, that ain't no doggy style I've ever seen.
Bring somebody in here. I'll show you how it's really done.
Game is weak, Derek. It's weak.
Now, Spicy Skizzy says the dog is out the room and the door is closed when the stuff goes down. Yeah, but once the dog comes back in and takes its place in the bed.
The dog has a strong sense of smell. It knows what you were doing.
You're nuts.
Smell like Badus.
Oh my God. Derek is lying, talking about it's not an issue, right? But Pastor Cal, I like the fact that he's telling Megan, look, your silence is an issue here because it is a communication and you're sending a very serious message and shutting down is not an option.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
I do like that he tried to call her out a little bit.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. But then it seems like there's more. Because he says he needs to have space to bring up things. And of course, Megan gets defensive again, saying she doesn't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. Which is funny to me because she's the one always starting the confrontation.
Yeah. And did you notice how their body language shifted? They weren't touching each other anymore. And she was going into that dark place of being upset. And I think Pastor Cal he was really fair, I think, with both of them. And I think Megan thought that Pastor Cal was going to be on her side when she told Derek that she thinks he can be a little aloof with Zoe. And Derek says,
dog.
Yeah, but then Derek says, okay, so next time you're feeling that way, just say it. And then Megan's like, did you hear the harsh tone? It's like, that wasn't harsh tone. at all.
Now, this is where Pastor Cal pissed me off, because he let Karen off the hook, right? Because she's been the most combative of anyone this season up to this point. We know he has seen the tape. Call her out. Yeah. Instead, he chastises Derek, which is crazy to me.
Well, he tells Derek that it's not that his tone was bad. It was his whole posture changed. And that's what triggered Megan. She's looking at his body language. And that's where she's interpreting it to be a harsh tone.
Yeah.
Now, Derek, here's the thing that annoyed me about Megan here, or at least one of. So then Derek's like, hey, sorry about that. Da-da-da. And then Megan looks at Pascal and is like, nah, that wasn't real. He called me honey. He never calls me honey. So then he apologizes again. And she's like, no, that was like a five. And Pascal was like, no. You got to appreciate and recognize his effort. You can't do that.
Yeah. See, she is a problem. A big problem. And Derek needs to run. Take your vinegar and run.
Throw some vinegar on her. Maybe that'll help.
Hey, you want to know how to keep the dog out of bed? Put some vinegar in the bed. Pastor Cal also goes to see Will and Brittany. And it's funny that he starts off by saying, so tell me about the good moments.
Crickets. There's nothing. Sad.
Nothing.
It's sad that they have zero good moments in 8 days.
Well, of course, there's some complaints because she brings up the whole house thing again.
Yeah.
And Will is like, okay, so ideally, how would you want someone to act when they come into your house? You seem to like Pastor Cal's response to this, though.
I did, because the way Pastor Cal let him know, it's like, hey, Will, it's not about the house. She just wants to see that you are interested and excited about something that's really important to her, which goes back to what I said earlier about the amount of effort it took for her to get that house. She's really proud of herself. So it's not that she's expecting him to do backflips, you know, and be like, oh my goodness, this, I've never seen a house like this before. She just would have liked to have some questions. He didn't ask her anything. Oh, this is really nice. And, you know, did you pick these cabinets? Did it come like this? I like what you did here. What did you remodel? What did you decorate? Or change when you bought the house? Like, he didn't really ask anything.
No, he acknowledged, when he walked through the door, he acknowledged what you would have seen immediately. Oh, this is you with braids. So see, he did see that. Thank you, Spicy Skizzy. He married her, not her house. Right?
True.
And did she tell him the importance of the house to her?
No.
If she didn't, that's a problem.
It is. And Pastor Cal called that out and told her that he can't read your mind.
Right.
So you have to be able to tell him some of these things. And she just keeps all this stuff on the inside and doesn't communicate to her partner.
So Pastor Cal says, yeah, ask him that, right? He says, oh, you tell her what you're feeling. Right? She's a big girl. Mm-hmm. She can handle it. And Will's like, no, she can't. At least he had to be thinking that. He had to be thinking that, because I know I was.
Well, I was really curious if they were going to get deep into the intimacy conversation. Like, they had it. It was surface level. But I was expecting more from that, especially Pastor Cal to jump in.
That's not Pastor Cal's specialty. That's Dr. Pia's.
You're right. That's Dr. Pia's deal.
They should have Dr. Pia come to see Will and Brittany, and Pastor Cal go see Pat and Rhonda.
They'll probably have her go see them next when they
check
tape and like, hey, they're still not sleeping together. They talk about the intimacy stuff, and Pastor asks him if he wants her, and he says, of course, which I still don't buy it. Because you can't tell
me. He looked at her when he said it.
Oh, that's awesome that he looked at her and said it. I've looked at a police officer right in the face. No, I wasn't speeding. So who cares that he looked at it? Yeah. Just saying.
Not to say.
I'm just saying. It's like it doesn't mean anything because he made eye contact. he's not physically trying. So that tells me you don't want her.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Monica's saying too. Even though LaVita says what Britney wanted was for Will to walk in and come like, this is nice. I'm going to set my PS5 up right here. I'm putting my chair right here. Which she probably would have had a problem. It didn't matter what he did. Should have, every time he's tried to be nice, she's had a problem with it. And that's where I have the issue. Is that it's not just what he is or isn't doing. Everything he has done, she still hasn't been happy. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Pia goes to see Pat and Rhonda. And before she gets there, we see the smoke. We know there's fire somewhere, and we're about to find it when Dr. Pia gets there. But we see the smoke first. What was this issue with the bike riding group?
So, almost said Pete. Pat, you know, comes in, and Rhonda asks how his day was, and he said that he was thinking of going for a bike ride, but just ran out of time. Mm-hmm. So she then asks if he's heard of this trail riders group that do rides on Saturdays. And he said that his friend told him about a group that rides on Sundays. And she's like, well, maybe that could be the same group they do on Sundays. He goes, well, I don't know the name, but I'll find out. That bothered Rhonda.
Which is stupid.
It is very stupid. But for some reason, that bothered Rhonda. And Rhonda's expecting him to go, tell me more about this bike riding group that you've heard of. Tell me all about it. Where'd you find this nugget of information, this wisdom? Please, I'm thirsty for knowledge.
You are such an amazing woman for doing that.
Yeah. Because yeah.
It's the, you know, Dr. Pia gets there and Pat is saying all good things about Rhonda and she's over there making faces. And then what does she do? She brings up, well, the thing that happened, like she's making it all like, Pat has all this stuff to work on. She has nothing to work on. It's all on Pat. Like this thing, I'm just going to bring up this thing that just happened. And then she goes in on the same thing about the bike. And I'm just like, dear God almighty, are we really revisiting this quickly?
Right. Now, I like what Dr. Pia did because she kind of stopped Rhonda and be like, hey, I'm hearing a lot of you. Mm-hmm. And Rhonda says, well, when he does this, it makes me feel like I'm not being heard. Which that's probably something else she should lay down and talk to a therapist about because he heard you loud and clear.
Yeah.
And then so Dr. Pia asked Pat, how does that make him feel? And he said he feels attacked and he's trying to get used to how direct she is.
The thing that irked me about this is I expected Dr. Pia to really come at Rhonda a little bit more because she's done that before. And she's done that, especially with the men on the show, right? In the past. But this time she let Rhonda off the hook. And I really believe she did because she's reading this all wrong. Rhonda doesn't want Pat to come at her with her concerns. She just wants to only have the concerns for her, right?
Yeah.
She has concerns about Pat. That's all she wants to bring up. Well, here's the thing. When Pat says Rhonda is boisterous and she reacts with energy, and sometimes that has been negatively, first thing Rhonda says is, well, how can I fucking know something? And I'm like, Dr. Pia, catch her real quick, right there. That cursing. Why is she doing that now? Why is she getting so agitated? And she lets her slide.
Yeah. And that's why she broke out the WWTs.
The dry WWTs. It was like powder because there was nothing.
But she broke out the WWTs. And that's why, you know, Dr. P was like, okay, I'm gonna pull back on this. But when Pat mentioned the whole boisterous deal, that's when her whole body language changed.
Yes.
And Pat recognized that her body language changed. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Pia said, look at how you responded when he did tell you what happened or, you know, what he felt. Look at how you responded.
At least she did that. Yes.
Yeah. So she did call that out. And I think Rhonda was like shocked because I think she thought Dr. Pia was going to be on her side because that's how she started when she's talking to Pat and Pat gave an answer. She felt like this was like a political answer. She's like, yeah, get her, Dr. Pia. But she realized, oh, and then Rhonda says it's very hurtful for her to hear what Pat is saying. And she said, Pat has said the same things that have happened in every one of her relationships. So let me get this right. everyone you've dated has told you something similar to what Pat said, that you're a little too direct. And sounds like when they try to tell you something, you get defensive and shut down. So maybe you should work on that. 6'7"
Yes. Six. Look at you. It's the problem. And I said this before and I say it again. Rhonda's the problem. She is the problem. Because she's bringing these past traumas up. Right. And again, Dr. P has to tell her, like, Pat is not your exes. Okay. So let's leave that there. She doesn't want to accept any of her flaws. She's perfect. Everybody else has something to change. Like, think about the way she's talked about Pat this entire time, the way she talked to him, the way she talked to Brittany about him, the way she's talking to him in front of Dr. Pia, so disrespectful. And then even when Pat tries to tell her some sweet stuff, what does she do? I still feel very safe, right? Very unsafe right now.
Yeah, I don't feel safe, which is...
What?
Again, goes with the WWTs. I don't feel safe. And Dr. P is like, okay, what would make you feel safe? And she's like, I just need space. I need time.
Yeah, it's crazy. And she then goes outside to walk the dog, still blaming Pat for everything she's done. And the only thing I can think is this is why you've been single for 25 years. This is what I saw when she first started chastising him and then saying he was being defensive when all he said was, I did ask questions, but not the way that you wanted. So I have to do this. And she's like, that's defensive. No, Rhonda, you are defensive. Extremely defensive.
Yeah. Problem. She's the problem. She's 100% the problem. And she won't admit it. But has no problem calling other people out.
Oh, no, no,
but
no.
You say anything about her, totally different ballgame.
Little Eva says, Rhonda and Megan need to kick rocks. Both of them are Karens. By the way, Newbie Mahogany says, what do you know about 6'7", Terrell? D. Hardaway says, Terrell, that is the first time 6'7 makes sense. And Tyler, like Tyler, YouTube channel member, thank you again, says, and see, I got the name right this time. I'm a teacher. Please don't trigger me with the 6'7".
That's going on what I heard. There was it was a team either on Saturday, college team or NFL team. It was a college team yesterday that he did that. He scored his touchdown. I think it was Kentucky, and goes to the student section and starts doing this. And everybody's like, 6'7".
The funniest thing is listening to people try to decipher what it means, because they just didn't ask the young folks. They'll tell you. Ask them. They'll tell you. It's really easy.
I had to look it up. I went to the Urban Dictionary. That's how I found out.
I know you did. Research. Research. By the way, just want you to know that YouTube channel member Anitra says we are ready for story time, Terrell. So story time is coming. You said this week, right?
Okay. This week.
It's coming this week. Mel says, I got to agree. Vinegar, baking soda, and Blue Dawn work miracles in your shower.
Okay.
You going to say, so do scrubbing bubbles?
It does. Fabuloso and cleanser. Old school. You say cleanser that. Cleanser does what?
I used to boil Fabuloso in a pot on the stove.
Why would you boil it?
To get high, of course. Why else? What else are you going to get out of that?
It's not heat activated. I'm like, why would you boil it? It's just,
well, you didn't see the walls even got clean. My sinuses walk with the clear. Pot,
just throwing fumes in there.
I'm one with the force. The force is with me. Kevin says, I'm not a dog or pet person, so I wouldn't be a Mavs villain. So would I. Trust me. And Terrell can tell you that for sure. Yeah, I am not the pet person. So cats are fine.
Except for cats.
Well, you know why? Because cats are independent. You go, you bring the cat in, you go, this is where you piss and shit. And you walk away. And you're good. Yeah. As long as you clean the litter box, they're fine.
It's for the lazy pet owners. Yeah, yes. Cats are for the lazy pet owners. They don't want to have to do anything. You got to put in work for a dog.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want a dog.
Yeah.
Exactly why I don't want one. Dogs are kids that never grow up. until they D-I-E, you have to walk them every time, clean up after them, take your plastic bag and pick up their poop. I'm not doing that. Gina says, Terrell, please let us know what date we can get story time so I can clear my calendar.
Well, it depends on Yanni's availability. I was thinking we could record it Tuesday, drop Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday? We got Monday yet. Okay. I'm trying to think because I got a golf tournament this week too. So,
yeah. So it depends on your schedule. So we got Monday, we got the deal. Or we could do it Wednesday, drop Thursday because people got to watch Married at First Sight Thursday. And we wouldn't do that recap until Sunday.
All right, let's talk on it because we could also do it and do, we do story time. We can do a members only live on story time.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. And someone asked what the topic's going to be. We're going to talk about my dating life. I'm going to open up.
Which one?
The most recent.
Oh boy, here we go. This is gonna be good. All right, look, I'm setting the put Thursday, Friday, 6 or 7. I see what you did there, buddy. Yeah. All right. So okay. I tell you what, do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. And here's the thing though. If we go story time live, right? Like I said, Anitra says the live will be fun. It will be a members only live. So less than $3 a month, you can be a member and be ready for a story time live, which we'll do. Do you want to just say Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday? It was just a Wednesday.
One or the other.
All right. Yeah. If you have your notifications on, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Justel, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We might talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool into rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the will to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time motto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.